It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Check in with Jeff Howe of The Athletic, and he's brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. At Rockland Federal Credit Union, free means free. Free online banking and debit card, no minimum balance, and no monthly fee. Visit rfcu.com today to find a location near you. Jeff Howe in the booth at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, as is Chris Gasper. Guys, seeing some reports on Twitter that the turf there is really good for this time of year. Can you confirm?
Looks nice. Looks nice. Yeah. Although, you know, it's hard to tell from up here. I was staring at it with the binoculars. I can't tell if it, you know, it's like watching a golf tournament where they sort of spray it and put a little lipstick on the pig.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, you take what you can get at this point in December in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Jeff's right. It does. It looks very good from the booth. But, you know, it's been wet here. It's been sodden the last couple of days. The weather here in Pittsburgh has been rainy and dreary, so I don't know if underneath there, you know, once these guys get out there, if you're going to start having chunks of turf coming up. I think it also helps that Pitt season is over, so they're not playing the college football games here, so that should make this field more stable.
All right, as we welcome in Jeff Howe from The Athletic. Jeff, what do you think about this game today, and if you could sum up what's on the line for the Patriots, what is it?
Well, they got to figure out how to win a road game and to play well from start to finish on the road. I think last week it was weird. Went into the game feeling pretty good about the defense. Going into that game, they had allowed 11.5 points in their previous four wins, which I guess still sort of holds true. And the offense was sort of the concern. The offense came out, and they were lights out. So I think because of, you know, you sort of spin that trend forward, I would expect the offense and Brady and Gronk, who have historically killed the Steelers, to start fast, and that's been a key element for them in some of these road games. But the defense obviously has to play a whole heck of a lot better than they did last week. I mean, they five scoring drives or five touchdown drives, they never forced a single third down. I mean, that's terrible first and second down defense. It obviously started on the run, where I think the Dolphins had 21 runs and 12 of them went for at least 5 yards. I mean, so you're consistently staying behind schedule, which doesn't allow you to really get after the passer as much as you'd like to. Their pass rush was actually clicking pretty well last week. It was just there weren't that many opportunities to really go after Tannehill. So, again, they've got a – I think they're probably going to catch a break in that James Conner probably won't be playing today. But, you know, you gotta step up and stop the run so you can give yourself a chance on third down.
Jeff, what do you think the approach is in terms of how they defend Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster? Obviously, they did a great job against Minnesota with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. But what do they do here against Pittsburgh, and how would you approach it if you're the Patriots?
Well, if I would do it, and I kind of studied their trends a little closer this week to see how the Patriots have been doing it. Now, of course, you know, famously, you go back to 2014 when Revis had a lot of time against the number two, and that would allow you to double-team the opponent's number one. This season's been a little bit the opposite, where Gilmore has more often than not, I think like in 11 of their 13 games, really shadowed one particular person, or at least the majority of that game. And more often than not, it was the team's number one target. So I think that would mean if you keep that trend in place, you put Gilmore on Brown. And then, you know, do you use McCourty to follow Smith-Schuster, or do you just let McCourty line up in the slot and J.C. Jackson on the other perimeter and just sort of let the matchups come to you? I mean, that's really, you look at the body of work, how the Patriots have tried to cover certain guys over the course of the season, that would be the thing that makes the most sense. But because the Patriots are completely unpredictable, I'm sure I'll be wrong.
So, You know, you're probably going to be right on this one, though. You're probably going to be right. I don't think it's as complicated as maybe we've even made it out to be. I think we're all – everyone's pretty much saying the same thing about that going into today in terms of how they should line it up.
Yeah,
unless
I mean –
you've heard differently. Have you heard anybody say anything different than what you just said?
No, I mean, you see, I mean, again, I think people sort of get caught in that trap of 2014 with the Revis strategy. And that wasn't a universal thing from start to finish that year. It just was easy to follow. And then, you know, again, you look at the way the Patriots have covered Brown in the past. It's been with Malcolm Butler, who was your number one corner. And, you know, Gilmore's the number one guy. So, again, that just sort of makes the most sense if you follow all of the trends and the patterns.
Jeff, when you look at offensively, you know, I thought the offense played well against Miami, particularly in the first half, but only 6 points really in the second half of that game. What's your confidence in this point in terms of the health of Tom Brady? A lot of people talking about after that Gronkowski touchdown that he tweaked something or that he's injured. Obviously, he's not on the injury report. What are you hearing in terms of Brady and his health?
Yeah, I don't believe that was a something to do with the equipment. I think he did tweak his knee, and I think that's going to be something that follows him throughout the season. I don't believe it's a major deal at all, but, you know, again, it's one of those things that you're probably not going to be able to shake out at this time of year without much of a break. Now, if they get themselves a first-round bye in the playoffs, that'd be great, but, again, I think that was certainly was not about the brace last week.
We're talking with Jeff Howe of The Athletic. Jeff, do you think Rob Gronkowski sort of follows up his good performance last week with another one today in Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh not been great against tight ends. And I think a big question every week now is what kind of coverage does Gronk get?
Well, it sort of depends on how you look at it, because if the Steelers, they often go into these games saying they're not going to cover Gronk with anybody. And they do a really good job of that. So, you know, are they executing their game plan of just forgetting about the best player on the field? So, again, it depends on how you look at it. Look, I mean, the history says that Gronk's going to have a good day against the Steelers. And last week alleviated a major concern, in my opinion, and something we talked about in the pregame show, was, you know, what's Gronk going to look like the rest of the season? And I thought it was concerning that he comes back, looks great, or at least was moving really well in that first game after the bye, after he had that layoff, and then you had the second game afterward, and it's like, all right, well, he wasn't moving as well, he wasn't blocking great, so is that going to be what you're going to get the rest of the season? And then all obviously he goes out and has a great game against the Dolphins and looks like himself again. So I think that was more of a blip on the radar a couple weeks ago against the Vikings, and, you know, he looks like he should be in good shape the rest of the way, I guess. I mean, as reasonably as you can expect Gronkowski to be.
I'm sorry, guys. I just saw I'm back here, obviously, able to see the feed of the local broadcast. And actually, this is on the – that was national, right? So on the CBS feed, they just showed a small preview of what's coming up in the 4 o'clock window, and that would be Patriots and Steelers. And they showed the conversation between Zoe and Tom Brady on television, and it seemed like Brady wasn't all that talkative. You guys had to see it.
Well, game is face, Zoe, you know.
Is Zoe in the booth right now? I just want to know if
he Brady just exited. Exited the booth.
It looked like Brady was sort of like not wanting to engage in the conversation. That's how it appeared.
I don't know. There was a lot of that. I think Zoe was on the other end of that a lot at our Beasley Christmas party. So, you know, it goes both ways. There were a lot of people trying to engage with him when maybe, you know, he was just trying to do his own thing.
Oh, is that right? He was sort of showing people up.
No, not at all, not at all. I'm just saying, when you're a popular guy, everybody wants to talk to you, and sometimes you just want to focus on your own thing.
For those of you who just joined us, Zoe and Tom sat together on the Patriots bench prior to today's game, probably about an hour ago now. But, yeah, that's all. I'm sorry, where were you, Jeff?
I don't know.
I wanted to ask Jeff a question here about James White. You know, James White comes into this game today. He needs 2 catches to set the franchise record for receptions in a season by a running back, and he's only 11 yards away from breaking Tony Collins' record for receiving yards by a running back. Collins also holds the receptions record. I feel, though, like the last couple of weeks, he's disappeared a little bit from the offense. Obviously, the Minnesota game, he had the 7 for 92, but the week before against the Jets, it was 1 catch, 5 yards. Last week, 2 catches, 15 yards. Have they lost him a little bit in this offense, or are teams doing something different to just take him away?
Well, first, I think this is going to be this is the type of defense that James White should have a good day against in terms of the passing game. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was a little reinvigorated today in Pittsburgh. But you sort of trace it back to last season, and it's a similar pattern that the Patriots used with White last year. Remember, he had a huge first half of the season, and then they scaled his workload way, way back. I think he got a little dinged up in the second half of the regular season as well. So I think, you know, a smaller guy, comparatively speaking, you know, with other running backs, and not somebody that you want to completely wear out before the playoffs start. So I think that has to do with taking his usage back a little bit. You know, similar type of situation to Rex Burkhead, who has played 17 snaps in back-to-back games since being activated from IR. I don't think that's a guy that they want to risk the injury before the playoffs. So I think that's probably leading to, again, similar type of deal with White.
But do they have that luxury? And now when I hear you say that, it reminds me a little bit of, you know, 2015 and trying to rest, like, you know, Danny Amendola down the stretch, which I'll be honest with you, at the time, I fully agreed with Bill Belichick. I thought he was making the right decision. But in hindsight, I'm not saying the decision didn't work out. I'm not saying it was wrong. But in hindsight, it was a luxury they didn't have. And so I guess it's the same thing here. Do they have the luxury of saying, well, let's conserve James White because he has 156 touches this season, and Rex Burkhead, let's conserve him? Do they have that luxury at this point, Jeff?
With White, no, they don't, because they have to win this game. And again, this is a defense that James White, if used, you know, full go today, should have a big day against. So again, this is a gotta-have-it game. If you lose this game, you know, there's the chances of getting a first-round bye are in severe jeopardy. And not just that. I mean, obviously, the home field is still sort of out there for them. But you don't want to open up without a bye for the first time since 2009. Because if you win, that, you know, you're guaranteed to go on the road at least once, if not twice. And you know what they've done on the road this season. So, again, no, they do not have that luxury with White today.
All right, Jeff, appreciate your time as always on Twitter at Jeff P. Howe. Make sure you give him a follow as he brings you all the coverage of the Patriots on The Athletic.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Our thanks to Jeff Howe.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.